You're listening to Back to the Light with J.D. Rieger. Hey everybody, welcome to yet another episode of Back to the Light. I am J.D. Rieger. It's good to be back. I took last week off to focus on the release of my new record, Where Wasn't I?, which you can buy on vinyl at backtothelight.net and is also streaming everywhere, cheap plug. Speaking of plugs, Memphis folks can catch me doing podcast stuff and selling records at Midtown Con this Saturday, October 29th at Black Lodge. And the band will be playing the rescheduled Due to Rain Back to the Light Fall Turnout on Saturday, November 5th at Wiseacre OG on Broad with the Subteens, Rosie, Loose Opinions, and Spacer. All right, that's enough of that. My guests for this episode are both huge gets, as they say, for the show. Absolute honor for me to have them on the podcast. First, we're going to talk to the TV voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, Mr. Pete Pranica. And then we'll get to wrestling legend and former WWE superstar, the vampire warrior, Gangrel. Let's do it. All right. Well, I'm here with the voice of the Grizzlies, the TV voice of the Grizzlies, Pete Pranica.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me on the podcast. An unexpected surprise to get to talk to you today.
See, you needed to be in better contact with Dustin Sarkis. He knew I was coming in, so surprised. But hey, great to be here.
Of course, you're known for doing basketball work, but... I've seen you on TV with Memphis Wrestling before. Do you have a longstanding fandom of wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, it started out when I was a kid, the old AWA. So we're talking like Vern Gagne and Jim Brunzel and Nick Bockwinkel and Billy Robinson. And so I followed it
Hennigs,
as a kid.
Yeah.
The Hennigs, absolutely. Bobby the Brain Heenan before he went to WWF, WWE. So I've had a fandom with it. And I would always tease Dustin when he would come to Grizzlies games and I'd say, hey, you know, I'm a little bit older than you. I know some of these old guys, or I was around some of these old guys. If you ever need anybody to help you with commentary, hey, and he took me up on it. So if there's an opportunity where I'm not with the Grizzlies and I have a day off, and thankfully today I actually have a day between games that I can come and help Dustin out. It's great fun, and I'm thrilled for what Dustin has been able to put together here.
How does your approach differ between calling a basketball game and a wrestling match? Obviously, you're more the color man here at the wrestling show.
I think Dustin and I, we kind of step over each other. We both do a little play-by-play and a little analysis.
You're used to being in charge.
Used to being in charge, and I know just enough about pro wrestling to be dangerous. Obviously, Dustin knows a whole lot more, but we just have fun with it, because my theory, no matter what you're doing, if, as an announcer, you're having fun, then hopefully the viewer is having fun. If you're not having fun as an announcer, then the viewer or the listener is going like, well, why should I watch? So we just have fun with it.
How many seasons have you been with the Grizzlies now?
This is 19 seasons here in Memphis,
goodness,
and 30 in the NBA, which means I'm old. Or I started when I was really, really young.
Last night was not a great night for the Grizzlies.
It was not, but it was the third game in four nights. It was the home opener for Dallas. They were really jazzed, and Luka Doncic is absolutely amazing, and there was nothing they could do with him. So, you know, and the Grizzlies had a loss like that in Minnesota last year, still won 56 games, so
sure,
no need to fear.
What is your overall outlook for the season? I know you're probably getting this question all the time these days, but what are you looking forward to this year?
I think if the Grizzlies could end up in the top six and avoid the play-in tournament, that would be ideal, because Denver has gotten better. I think we saw Dallas got a little bit better. A lot of teams have improved, and the Grizzlies are trying to improve from within. So, and look, 56 wins, it was a franchise record. You're not going to get a franchise record every single year. It also depends on when Jaren Jackson Jr. comes back.
Sure.
You know, because for me and for Brevin, we think he is as great as Ja Morant is, and he was amazing in Houston. I think Jaren's ability to play is going to tell the tale of just how good a season this Grizzlies team can have.
Sure. Do you think that it seems like the team's going to be leaning on new faces this year? Who do you think is most poised to really contribute?
Well, he's not necessarily a new face, but I think Zaire Williams will probably make a big leap from year one to year two. And we've also seen Santi Aldama.
Do you think he's for real?
I do think he's for real. Yeah. One of the things about Santi is that he wants to be coached. He works really, really hard, and his teammates love him, and the coaches believe in him. And the big reason why you see the young players for the Grizzlies improve from year to year is that this coaching staff and the organization, they pick you because they believe in you, not because some mock draft said you should be picked at this particular spot. And so even when Santi would play in the G League in South Haven, the entire Grizzlies coaching staff on an off night would go and sit front row and support him as he was playing G League ball. And that doesn't happen with every NBA team. So, I think he's for real. What we've seen the first three games, saw it in Summer League, saw it in preseason, I think he's for real.
Last thing I want to ask you about before I let you go, because I know the show's about to start, is the impact of Ja. I know a lot of people talk about that, but, you know, the team has had all-stars before, has had big names before, but it's something completely different with Ja.
It is completely different because now when we go on the road, we see a lot of Grizzlies jerseys. Most of them are number 12. And on this road trip to Houston and Dallas, I ran into young people who were not from Memphis, knew nothing about Memphis, but they knew about Ja Morant. So they had Ja Morant jerseys. I talked to one kid yesterday. He said, I just watched his TikTok videos, and I became a huge fan. So, the impact that he has had on the entire country. Like I said, we go to road arenas, and there are people waiting outside the hotel. There are people waiting outside the arena. Everybody gets there because they want to see him because he is so spectacular a player.
And, I mean, now the national TV schedule is creeping up on your guys' vibe. I mean, is that bothersome to you to have, like, you know, to have the national crew in the house so many times this year?
It's bothersome because I hate – because when the games are on TNT, by contract, we can't do them locally. So there.
But that's not the case with ESPN. That's so weird.
Yeah, it's not the case with ESPN. But in any event, I hate sitting and watching games. Nervous energy. There's nowhere to put it. When you're announcing a game, you can have nervous energy and you can express it by the way you call the game. When you're just sitting there and watching and you feel kind of helpless, that's not a really good feeling. But it's good for the organization, bad for the broadcasters.
Yeah. You ever tempted to just go over and like tell Hasseltine just scooch over?
No. He's earned the right to call all those games. So no.
For sure, I love him on the call. I was just kidding. Before you go, can I get a hammer, nail, coffin?
Absolutely. Hammer, nail, coffin. This baby is over.
And so is this interview. Thank you, Pete.
My pleasure.
I'm here with the former USWA Southern Heavyweight Champion, now known as Gangrel.
That was many years ago, it seems. Seems like a long time ago, but it also seems just like yesterday.
Yeah.
And here we are, right back in Memphis again.
I know. I saw you wrestle when I was 14 at the Coliseum. You were teaming with Luna against Jarrett and Miss Texas.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That brings back some memories. Rest in peace, Luna. Yeah, good times. The Coliseum was great. Had a lot of great matches with Jeff Jarrett there, Jerry Lawler. Fortunately, the Moondogs probably broke a few 2x4s over my head in that building, too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There's some bad memories.
Somewhere in my collection, I have an autographed 2x4 by Moondog Spot.
Yeah, I got an autographed scar from them. My head, I guess my head's technically autographed by a divot from their 2x4 or 4x4, whatever they hit me with that day.
How formative was your time in Memphis in the 90s? Like, how important was that for your career?
I am glad you explained formative because I had no idea what you were talking about. So you mean how important was my time in Memphis in the 90s? It was very important because Memphis was very, very important. And I was trained by Boris Malenko, right? And then from there, that was in South Florida. I was trained. I went to the Hearts and trained in the Dungeon, so the infamous Dungeon. And then from so I was training at those two places. Then I was working in all Japan and Puerto Rico and stuff. So I got into a bit of a wild style. I was trained proper, but like my style evolved to be in a very physical, rough and rowdy style, like just smash mouth. And then it came back to Memphis where it was an art of wrestling, it was a skill to wrestling, there was a little bit of storytelling. So it came back and it really grounded me and brought me back to my grassroots, this way, of the true wrestling that I really love and grew up watching and wanted to be. So it was very important and very good. But even though it ended up being a vampire, but we know Memphis is famous for mummies and Christmas tree monsters and
indeed
whatnot and whatnot. So vampires, not so unusual to be in Memphis. And to be here, how many years? 20-something years later, I must be a vampire.
Yeah,
I should be in the grave. Or was I in the grave? Did you dig me out of the grave? There is a casket here right now. Is that my casket?
I don't know. Is it your, are you going in that casket?
Riddle me this.
Okay.
Why do they put me in casket matches? Like, I'm afraid of caskets. I like caskets. I sleep in caskets. I sleep in coffins. I sleep in dark, claustrophobic spots.
Yeah, yeah. That seems so like home court advantage for
it's
you.
It's my match to intimidate my opponent, but I don't know. I hear I'm wrestling a werewolf, which is like a werewolf, but a hybrid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm not a little scared of it. Yeah, maybe this guy over here can explain if a werewolf is a hybrid of a werewolf. I don't know. But it sounds like a bad Twilight saga.
It does.
It sounds like a very bad Twilight saga. But it's going to end bad for the werewolf, you know.
You had times in WCW and ECW where you were... You know, your Wikipedia page refers to that period as...
Don't always believe in that Wikipedia, though.
It refers to that era as enhancement talent. But then you finally made your name big time. How gratifying was that after, you know, all the years in the indies and then, you know, working undercards for W and all that stuff?
Hold on. You mean I didn't make it in 1987 when I was getting my rear end kicked by Abdullah the Butcher or I was taking the Doomsday whatever from the war? I wasn't making it? Nowadays, that would have been AAW Dark. So they made it like that really is like AAW Dark. Spinning around and throw those days. So tell me now I didn't make it.
I didn't use those words.
No, it was gratifying. Of course it was. But I still don't believe I made it. I still have a lot to prove. I know I'm on the back end of everything. I've reached my prime, past my prime. But I truly love professional wrestling. So if I can't give it in the ring, I'm going to give it back to the young talent in the ring by either helping them, guide them, running a training facility and stuff like that, and creating future pro wrestlers with a traditional background and a bit of old school values, if we could say that, old school values and stuff like that, and in the ways of Memphis.
I heard you giving some feedback to some of the boys earlier, so it seems like that paying it forward or whatever seems to be important to you.
35 years this past September. It's October now, so September was 35 years. I am blessed and grateful. I owe professional wrestling everything. It doesn't owe me anything. I live through these guys, so like I just love it. I'm blessed to be able to do what I do every year, and you need the new generation to be able to keep it going as much as we need the fans that are like listening to this podcast and other people. You need that, and I want to say thank you to them before I forget all the fans out there and all the people that do. I don't particularly like to do podcasts and stuff like that, so even though I have one, but I'm doing it for as a favor to a student I trained that ended up not wanting to wrestle but be a producer and stuff like that. So it's actually a favor that I do that every week. I think it's therapy too, so I just go talk for no reason. And I don't bother people with some random thoughts and stuff like that.
Well, in light of that, I appreciate extra that you took time to do this.
You told me I had to do it. Hold on, I didn't have to do this? Oh, come on, man.
Before I let you go, I want to talk to you about your former partner, Luna Vachon, who actually at the Coliseum...
Trying to describe me as like using a screwdriver to cut roast beef.
Met her when I was a kid, and she couldn't have been sweeter to me. Like, at a time when, like, the other heel wrestlers were, like, ignoring me and wouldn't come talk to me, she did. She came and signed my program and gave me a special moment that I honestly have never forgotten.
She might have been collecting your soul for the devil. You just didn't know it. You signed a contract. You'll probably see her in hell soon. No, she is the sweetest person. That's what a lot of people... They saw Luna, they see a bigger-than-life character that's like over the top with the growling and the mean. And then you hear stories about the fighting and the demons she had and other things too. But truly, she was an amazing individual, one of a kind, and blessed to have had her in my life and have been a part of my life and a part of my journey and so much of my journey to the person I am today.
What do you think she would have thought about being the subject of that documentary that you were a part of? The dark side thing.
She would have said, "Don't you screw this up, vampire. You get it right." But she would have wanted to put more stuff out there, because if she could have did it, she probably would have told a little bit more personal stuff that I steered around and stuff. And I think the dark side of the ring were actually respectful to steer around. But she might would have put some more stuff out there like that. But she would have liked it. I don't think she would have been upset with it. She'd have been upset with all the other episodes of it. She probably, she's very protective of wrestling, even in the later days, as the rest of the world has moved forward and evolved a little bit. She still very much protected it and held it in the highest of regards, professional wrestling, I think all the other episodes she might have struggled with, but she would have been all right with hers.
Cool. Last thing, very recently, your former brood mate or whatever, I don't know what we would say, but Edge did some entrances that really harkened back to those days of the brood. Mm-hmm. What was it like for you to see that? Was it cool to see him bringing that stuff back?
Yeah, it was cool. Very flattering because, like, that Monday after everything, I was talking to him. He goes, man, I hope I did that. So, you know, like, it was a tribute. I really loved the brood time. And he goes, I hope it gets you more bookings, you know. I go, I'm busy enough, but thank you.
And, well, you've been doing stuff with AEW. You've got your own. Sounds like you've got a school. Busy, you sounds know, like you're busy.
What's today's date?
It's the 23rd.
So it's 23rd of October. By the 30th. When I wrap up this run, I've done 21 events this month, and 80%, 90% of them have been wrestling shows. So,
wow.
And that's the 31 days. And then I'm really not done. I'll land, and I'm back out on the road. I'm slammed till Thanksgiving, and then I'm slammed till Christmas. So I'm very blessed. And, you know, October is the season of a vampire, you know, and spooky characters. And it's great to be back in Memphis. It's great to be on here, man, and I appreciate it. And I'm just blessed again. I'm looking forward to stuffing somebody in a casket tonight.
Well, thanks again for taking the time. I appreciate it. It was an honor to meet you.
Ah, my pleasure. Take care.
Yeah. That's the show. Thank you so much to my guests, Gangrel and Pete Pranica, and thank you for listening. Our opening theme is Arthur with Two H's, and our closing theme is Joey Pegram of Shabadoo. And for music, news, episode archives, and other fine podcasts, visit backtothelight.net. Until next time, take care, y'all. Part of the Back to the Light podcast network at backtothelight.net.